You're listening to Renaissance Voices, a podcast about stories and the people who have lived them. Let's join Christine and find out who her guest is today.
Well, welcome to Renaissance Voices. My name is Christine Odell, and I am the owner of Eight Owls Publishing. I have another friend of mine today. I always introduce every guest that I have so far as my friends because they really are. And I can say today that Pastor Michael Holmes and his lovely wife, Melody, truly are friends of my husband and myself. And I'm very grateful for that. So welcome, Pastor Michael.
Thank you, Christine. It's good to be here. And I have to say the same thing. We love you and Mike, and it's just a privilege to be on your podcast with you today.
Thanks. It has been a privilege to host a podcast. It really has been. And I know that today's episode is not going to disappoint, because what I know about you is that you are a highly creative thinker. And so I'm looking forward to really just kind of picking your brain and allowing you to just really take us to some understanding and some depth about the scriptures. And what I really want to talk about and start off with is this idea that in the kingdom, we are told to be fruitful and multiply, right?
Yes.
Every time under the old covenant that there was something newly established, God would say, be fruitful and multiply, because it was the original design of mankind in the garden. We were to co-create with God, and we were to be co-rulers with God and take care of his creation, right? And we were to expand it and cultivate it and till it and make it productive. Mm-hmm. And so that is not something that's lost in the new covenant either, because that if you think about all that Jesus talked about in the parables, it's all this idea of gardening and growing and producing fruit, right?
Yeah, it's good.
So, when I think about the parable of the sower, if I read it to you, it would say, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plant. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times that which was sown. And that's the idea that I really want to hone on. What does that 100 times, that 100% crop look like? And how does God value that? Mm. And we can kind of get a picture of how he values that if we look at another parable, the parable of the talents, right? Which you did a sermon series on,
yeah, that's right.
And it was so good. Mm-hmm. Can you kind of open that up for us?
Yeah. So, gosh, thank you for the bump, set, and spike when it comes to this concept of being fruitful and multiplying. And that particular series, I remember it well. And it was just based off the parable of the talents, and we called it 1-2-5-11. And it was really neat taking time to focus on each man with the talents that God had given them. And, you know, when you talk about God being a creator and him inviting us to co-create with him, that even through that story that Jesus shared, there was this, in the background, this idea of creativity and the way that we take on a creative nature that actually allows us to be fruitful and multiply if we apply ourselves. And I think the key takeaway from that parable was this aspect of stewardship with what God's given us. And so, you know, if you look and read into that story more, you see how the man with five talents ultimately comes out with 10, and then the man with two with four. But then you have this other man with the one talent, and he actually makes, unfortunately, a very foolish decision, and he buries that talent. And there's a mindset that is revealed through that. There's a mindset of productivity, proactivity with the five and the two. But this other guy that's in the picture actually has fear and doubt. And even this idea, and it's just inferred, like when you look at him, of not willing to take a risk. There was some unwillingness there that prevented him from stepping into that which the master really wanted him to step into. And so, unfortunately for him, there was rebuke. There was actually a removing of his talent and given to the most productive one. And so he ended up not just with 10, but with 11. And I think there's a huge lesson to be learned from that, even when it comes to what God has entrusted to us concerning stewardship, entrepreneurship. God himself is an incredible entrepreneur. You see that creative nature in everything that he does. Jesus was the same way. He was an entrepreneur. Oftentimes, when you look through what he did, his creative nature, his approach with people, and the way that he even provided for his disciples, you see the entrepreneur in creative nature even within them, the church itself, from the way it was birthed. The early church is entrepreneurial, creative by default because of who made us and where we come from. And so I think it's really neat to see that play out. And if we hone into it more and even think of the role that we can play on an individual basis of, if God's a creator and an entrepreneur, if the church is creative and entrepreneurial, that means that in some capacity, I'm that way too. And so then the question becomes, if you're that way, and the answer to that is yes, you are, and you know that, I know that, and that's where I love talking with a fellow high creative thinker, because when you have that knowledge, it's then what do you do with that knowledge? And I think in some way, God has to help us with the community to learn how to maximize our creative potential so that we don't miss out on what could unfold, that dreams, desires in our heart don't just stay there and remain unfulfilled, but some way, somehow we make some moves together and individually to step into that productivity, that being fruitful and multiplying.
I love that. I love how you said that somehow in community, we need to learn to step together in that, you know, Jesus said that he is the vine, right? Mm-hmm. And we're to abide in him. And as we abide in him, the abundant life that he brings is produced in us. And we ourselves become the fruit of the vine. So we're actually the fruit that others need to, you know, to be nourished by, that don't know him yet, that don't have that abundant life yet, that don't have it come into the kingdom to understand the fullness of what it really means to be fully alive. If you think of abundant life, I think of the term teeming with life. If something is teeming with life, say it's a pond and it's teeming with life, then there's fish everywhere. There's frogs, there's dragonflies, you know, there's lily pads, and there's all of this ecosystem underneath that sustains life and allows for life to be produced to the point that it's almost so full, you know, it's got to spill out into another area. And so to me, that is that's how Jesus wants us to live. That's what he came to do. And do we have to go through these processes of coming out of the world, coming out of the sense that we're all born, you know, fallen, and there's this molding process we all have to go through? Yes. But ultimately the goal is not to live in this sheltered, you know, what you said, kind of fearful and afraid to step out mode. It's to be life-giving ourselves and to expand all that out into those that really need it. So, you know, I would say that is one of the things that I have loved about Freedom Fellowship. And you're a pastor. You're one of our associate pastors. You have so many responsibilities on your shoulders, Pastor Michael. And I know that pastoring itself is an all-encompassing job. You know, when you talk to people about Freedom Fellowship and you talk to them about the heart of entrepreneurship there, how would you describe freedom?
That's a great question. I think in the role as a pastor, if it's done well, and again, I'm saying that I'm a work in progress in regards to that on occasion, but it actually has a way of inviting and beckoning creativity in relationship, in ministry, in approach, you know, in engagement with community, however you want to look at it. But in describing freedom in particular, you know, we share the same lead pastor, you know, John, and he has a very entrepreneurial heart. I think he really grasps the concept of God's creative nature and the potential that we have. And so there's been that encouragement, those little seeds planted and dropped, which have now really blossomed into a garden teeming with life. And at the point where we find ourselves now, and I love it and love being a part of it, is this entrepreneurial spirit that just flows within our church. The creative thinking, the strategic approaches to business and marketplace, not just ministry, and how to be an impact in the community in more ways than one. And so in describing us, it's just really neat to see the entrepreneurship, the ownership, the small business owners that we have that really want to exercise out of their passion and gifting. And I think that's a big part of the entrepreneurial aspect of it is, hey, God has called you to be entrepreneurial. Where do you fit? And it's not a matter of if you fit. It's a matter of you do fit. Now you just need to find and explore what that can and could look like. And so whether that means authoring books, you know, opening up a storefront, providing a product or a service, or stepping out into your gifting and calling of communication or teaching and instruction. I mean, the list goes on. But out of that, I think we've found our niche. And in that niche, really want to maximize it. I know I used that word a little bit ago, and that's something that I just keep coming back to is how do you go beyond maximizing your potential to actually like stepping out and doing it. And then in your doing, you're learning, you're growing, and then you're maximizing that. And I think that's where the multiplication begins to occur. And so yes, freedom, entrepreneurial, creative, and looking forward to how we can maximize that as a body that will impact not only our community, but regionally, you know, internationally. And we are making global impact, but I know God has more in store for us to do in a greater measure with a larger community that we're reaching.
That's awesome. I love how you described freedom because, and I love that you said we found our niche because I think that's true. You know, if we're going to be freedom, right, we have to be people that are pursuing that freedom in every aspect of what it means to be free in Christ. And if we stop short of that abundant life that we talked about, then it's not the full freedom that Jesus came to give us.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think about my own journey into where my husband and I are at Freedom Fellowship. And, you know, I had gone to college right before we came to Freedom. I was in Bible college. I had gone to college late in life. And I knew that I had a very evangelistic heart. Mm-hmm. But I also, for whatever reason, and now I know the reason, but I was always just a little different than the mold. Always, you know, and I kept trying to fit the mold because that's what was expected of me, yeah. Right? And that's how you find success according to, you know, those that have gone before you. But it just never worked. I always felt like I was wearing Saul's armor. Mm. And so I remember talking one night to a guest that one of my professors had come speak to us, and he was a very well-known evangelist, and he had built, you know, so many small businesses that allowed him to evangelize, that allowed him to communicate the gospel in various ways. And I asked him, I said, how do you know that you're a God-called evangelist? Mm. And he said, well, that's a really good question, Christine. He said, because we're all evangelistic. Mm-hmm. We're all to share the truth of who Jesus is and what he's done in our lives. so that others may come to know him. But then there are those that, you know, help equip us in that. He said, but here's what I know about evangelists. He said, number one, they have a testimony where God met them and just radically transformed them. You know, like it's major. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, they've been involved in evangelistic ministry, usually from the time that they were saved. It was just something they were drawn to. And now they've grown, you know, if you're going to grow into that role, you've grown. He said, but here's the other thing I know about evangelists is that they're always expanding the kingdom. Mm. They can't sit back and do the norm. They have to be about expansion. He said, because their whole foundation is the gospel.
Yeah.
And the gospel is all about bringing life. And I just looked at him and I said, okay, well, you know, for a lot of us, then that means it needs to translate into the church world. It needs to translate into this particular role that we've kind of been trained in. But that's where I've always struggled and never quite seemed to fit. And so when I started my publishing company, that was really the heart behind it. Mm-hmm. Like I wanted to help people craft their story, you know, their redemption story, mm-hmm. so that they could be the witness for Christ that they needed to be. But in that, I felt like I was equipping, in a sense, those that needed my help in that area. And now I'm looking at the way that God is expanding our reach and he's expanding what we're doing. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, there is, just like you said, there is a place for who you are. And it may not be the structure that we've always known, because I think so much of that is going away anyway. Mm-hmm. We're living in a new day, yeah. right? We're living yeah, we in are. A new time, and it's going to require some new creative ways of thinking for us to really flourish and be that life-giving, you know, community that we're called to be. And I am so thankful to be a part of Freedom who has taken hold of that concept and understand. I mean, you guys have gone through quite a transformation yourself, you mm-hmm. know, like we're going to let go of this. We're going to let go of this. We're going to let go of this. And we're going to take hold of some new things, and we're going to pioneer some new things, and we're just going to let God lead us.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about the heart of Freedom.
That's awesome.
And so you as a pastor, you know, what has that process been like for you?
Another great question. Wow. I love what you shared. And I just want to say this, and I'll definitely jump into that question, but it's neat to see how you described your journey and where God is taking you. And there's so many creative ways and approaches that you're going about it. I mean, it's not just a publishing company, you know, going a single direction. It's a publishing company that opens up a world and a platform for voices to get what's needed on the inside of them out. And just, you know, me talking with you, I know you're just getting started. Like, and that's what's incredible. Like what you've already done and accomplished, and it's just the beginning of what's going to continue to come out of Eight Owls Publishing, you know, this concept of Renaissance Voices, and it's powerful. So I'm excited to see it, and thank you. But in answering that question about how that's, you know, even played out for me, it actually makes me think of something in my past where I had an inkling, I think maybe somewhere like in days gone by, that, you know what, maybe one day I will be a business owner, or, you know, step into some type of small venture, you know, that could be something outside of just what maybe we formerly know as ministry. And so obviously, with the seeds being planted and some of what we've discussed about being fruitful and multiplying, the Lord just began to kind of speak and whisper. And for me, you know, there's definitely a practical nature to me in the way that I think and my logic and my reasoning. But a very, very simple thing that people talk about is even starting out the foundation of, well, what are you good at? Or what's your passion? You know, what's your talent? And even God using the basics there in your life to then determine, okay, this is where I fit and this is what I should step into. And it ultimately led me into this entrepreneurial journey of, okay, I know I need to do something now, but what can it look like? What should it look like? And then just thinking through my passions, man, shoes came to mind. It hit me. I've been passionate about shoes since a child. My mom has a real funny story that she shares. When I was 2 and 3 years old, and she would tie my shoes and then I would line them up like in the middle of my foot. In the moment I would walk and the laces would fall to the side, I'd start crying. And she was like, that's when I knew you had some type of fixation, you know, on footwear. And then it led to, you know, keeping my closet clean. And then, you know, friends and family, I would see their shoes and just have this desire of like, man, like they always need to have their footwear looking good. And so just to kind of fast forward, you know, now I've stepped into a passion of shoes and a shoe cleaning business, which I didn't ever really think I would have. I knew I was going to be entrepreneurial in some way, and God just has a funny way of leading you. And it played out into this, and I love it. I love having this this side gig, so to speak, that has really stirred some things in me into more creativity and really exploring, okay, what can other opportunities and moments look like that it doesn't just have to stop here. And so I love that there's kind of that birthing process, and then you're willing to go there and cross over.
Right. Anybody that knows you, Michael, knows that your shoe passion is, that's a true story. You are very passionate about shoes. How many pairs of shoes do you own?
Oh, my goodness. You would ask that question in this moment. I think I'm knocking at around 60 pairs of shoes
right now. I don't
even
own 60 pairs of shoes, you know, and I like clothes. I like shoes and I, you know, but I don't even own 60 pairs of shoes. And that just makes me smile.
It's sad. It dwarfs my wife's side of the closet. It's bad.
I think my husband owns 3 pairs of shoes. But you know,
awesome.
Mike, I mean, he's practical. He's like, do you really need more than one pair of brown shoes?
Yeah.
And I would say yes, but you know.
I don't think I ever want to take him to my closet. He'd probably just look at me and laugh, shake his head and humor me. But that's funny.
I love it. I love it. And I love the fact that you talk about, you know, that's what entrepreneurship should be birthed from, is your passion. What is it that you are truly passionate about? What is it that God has placed in you that you have such an interest to see done well or done differently, or, you know, some area of service to others that really comes from who you are? You know, that was another aspect of my publishing company, because I've been a writer since I was a child. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have said, you know, that I was a writer. If you would have asked me, well, who are you, Christine? I would have said all kinds of other things. But when it really came down to it, and God began to open that up, that really does explain who I am in every capacity, because my writing has been used throughout my childhood, throughout ministry, certainly in college, you know, and even really in the healing aspect of things, because I could go and really just be with the Lord. And it seemed to be the way that I would ultimately communicate what God was trying to say to me, was that I would begin to write it out.
That's good.
So you know, you are geared towards something specific.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what it is. Maybe you've never really asked the questions involved to find out, well, what, you know, how do I hone that down and identify it so that I know how to move forward in that? But there is something there. It's that, you know, going back to some garden imagery, that there are seeds planted in the soil of your heart that God has planted there.
Yeah.
And he's wanting each one of us to cultivate them, grow them, and be fruitful with them. Right.
That's so good.
I mean, it's just that simple. That really is what it means to be part of the kingdom.
It really does. You actually kind of triggered a question on the inside as you're sharing that. And I think one question that people could add to their exploration of entrepreneurship is, where can I add value? Or In what way have I wanted to add value to something? And this is a way that I can do it. You know, very basic for me. When you think of shoes, I mean, there's shoe cleaners out there that are available for people. And then there are, you know, shoe services that are provided in some areas. And I just felt like, man, I want to jump into the arena as a middleman to add value to people in the footwear community. And it's such a simple and basic approach, but it's like in your life, even through your writing ability and what you've stepped into, you're adding value to people and then using voices to then add value to a larger audience. That's a big deal. And in entrepreneurship, I think that's the other aspect, or one other aspect to it, is God's called us to add value to whatever we would apply ourselves to, because it is teeming with life. We're life givers, life bringers. And so when an individual makes their approach to the garden, it's like, well, man, what color can you add, you know, to this bed, so to speak? You know, like there's a plant that you can bring into play. You know, there's maybe even a whole section that needs to be tilled and cultivated that's not even being looked at right now. And you're the gardener to do it.
This has been a great conversation so far. Let's take a quick break. So you may have heard Christine talk about her Freedom Friends and ask yourself, who are these people? Where are they from? What is freedom? Freedom is a church that's all about loving God and loving people. We feel that no one should go through life alone, and that you're much stronger with others around you. You can experience freedom every Sunday at 10 a.m. in person or online. The church location is 507 North Highway 77, building 1300 in the Northgate Plaza. Come to know our vision, our heart, and meet our pastors. We'd also love to know more about you. Now, back to the episode.
We actually together wrote a book, led by Pastor John, led us in this project to write a book as business owners of freedom. And it really doesn't even encompass all the business owners of freedom.
Yeah.
So there's probably another book from a whole nother group of people coming. But this initial one was called Streams Are for Fun. Mm-hmm. And the premise of that was that this should be fun, because it really should unlock who we are, like we've been talking about. And so he asked each of us to take a chapter. We all had, you know, a specific subject matter, and we wrote on that. You, being a pastor, obviously, you know, this was also part of your wheelhouse. You talked about the systems that are needed. Mm. Really, your systems were not the payroll systems and that kind of thing. You were talking about in your chapter systems to help you govern yourself so that you can be productive in the way that you need to. And I know the importance of that, because as you do begin to expand and grow and multiply, you know, it can get to the point where you feel like, okay, this thing is running me.
Yeah.
You know, it can get really big, and you don't have sometimes the groundwork in place, but again, that's all part of expansion. It's part of the growth process. Okay. You come up to this new season, right? It's a season that now has to, it needs something a little different to cultivate it. And that's just part of problem solving, part of bringing the solution to the season so that you can continue to grow. And I think that that is so much of what this book is about. It's all the different perspectives that you talked about. And yet, it really is a compilation of wisdom from different business owners. So
really
for you particularly, you talk about that systems, the systems you need to bring to yourself. And one of those systems you mention is time management, which I thought, you know, that's kind of, I can say that's what I'm dealing with in the moment myself.
Oh, yeah.
Even though I feel like I'm a very disciplined person in a lot of ways, I am coming into how can I multiply my time? I'm having to answer those questions because I am at that place that it's going to take some multiplication for me to continue to grow. And you say this in your chapter, time is one of the most precious commodities we have, even over money. You make time for what is important to you, and you must prioritize it well. We are called to be good stewards with the gifts God has given us, and time is certainly a gift. Have you ever heard someone say there just isn't enough time in the day? I have said it myself. However, God corrected my mindset by responding, there is enough time in the day. You just aren't stewarding it well. Mm. And that got my attention. Yeah. So
mine too.
Yeah. So can you tell us about the time that that got your attention a little bit?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I will say it's interesting hearing your words read back to you and just like, okay, here we go. But I in writing that, no, I remember, and God continues to do it, but just remind me of the value of time. And you mentioned already the word time management. And even before we, you know, we jumped on this podcast, there was a moment where we were talking and you mentioned this phrase, internal adjustment. And it's a combination of internal adjustment and then really evaluating your surroundings and what you're doing and how you're applying yourself. And so it was in that moment when I make that statement where God rebuked me basically and was just like, hey, no, you do have enough time in the day. It's just a matter of you stewarding it well. It's the idea that every single person has the same 24 hours in a day. And it really matters what you do with it. And so when you try to evaluate people like, man, what makes someone successful versus unsuccessful, it really does boil down to the application of time. And then you have to evaluate too, well, what is important to God ultimately? And then what's important to me and how do I manage that 24 hours? And so I love that God already provides for us certain parameters where there has to be time for him. First and foremost, there has to be time for your family. You know, there has to be time for the body of Christ, the community that we're a part of. And then there has to be time for sleep and exercise. I mean, and so you already begin to see how your day fills up. Then you take that one entrepreneurial piece in the middle of all that. Because what you may get into, and we talk about it a little bit in that chapter, when you start to evaluate your week, you begin to notice, oh man, I'm wasting time. There's time that is ill spent when you're really honest with yourself and could be just simply changed or improved upon. And so I think little tweakings like that, you know, once you tweak a day, it's then going to multiply in its effectiveness over your week as an example. And then you'll realize, oh wow, I've got 2 and 6 and 10 hours in my week that I've regained because of the way that I've evaluated it. And that gives you the opportunity to apply yourself in the entrepreneurial way instead of making excuses. Or you may think, oh, I don't have, you know, this much time, but it's the same like in the way that you budget money, where there may be moments where it's like, oh, I don't think I have enough for that. And you may very well have it. It's just that there's maybe been some reckless spending of the money. And once you sure a few things up, you're like, oh, I have more in my hand this week or in a monthly budget than what I thought I did. And then that's where we encourage, well, save it or invest it or whatever that would look like for you. And time's very similar in that way. We just can't get time back. And so the sooner that you make that adjustment, the better. And glean and learn from those around you or those that you have found to be successful, how are they applying themselves? Now, yes, there is such a thing as workaholism.
Yes.
And like you said, sometimes the moment where you feel like your business is running you, and I think when it comes to that point, it's good to press pause and stop and say, okay, what can I do? What can I not do? And when you're an entrepreneur, you are your own boss in that way, where you can set your boundary, you know, set your standard. This is all that I can do. And I know that there's dream and vision, and there's moments where you're going to have to stretch. But you know you. And so to what capacity are you willing to stretch in this season? And there are moments where you're going to have to put in longer hours and, you know, maybe even sacrifice some sleep. That's a part of it, but that can't be the norm to where it zaps the fun out of your experience and creative journey for sure.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Because again, streams are for fun, yeah. Which is the name of the book, mm-hmm. Right? You know, you say this in your chapter as well. Be encouraged. Every single person on planet Earth has the same amount of time in a day. When it comes to your new stream of income, what I believe separates entrepreneurs who succeed and those who don't is the wise usage of time, which is what you were just talking about. Mm-hmm. No one has a leg up on time. We simply use it differently. Entrepreneurs must be strategic in all things. Remember, this book is entitled Streams Are for Fun. Your life should be enjoyable. And this is what you touched on again. You have God to serve, a life to lead, a family to love, friends to enjoy, and a business to run. But all of it can be done well if you manage your time rightly. And Pastor Michael, I want to say, you know, you really just challenged me in a sense and probably didn't even know it. But, you know, those things are so important. I am going to be 56 years old this month, and I have two teenage boys still at home out of the six children that Mike and I've had. And, you know, one of them's getting ready to go to college. And I can say that that time really does just fly by. You get to a certain place, and I don't know how I got to this place where I'm about to be 56. I certainly don't feel like that on the inside. You get to a place where you look back, you know, you're looking back and reflecting back more than maybe you're looking forward when you're younger, and you can really see time that was spent well, time that maybe wasn't, and you're right, you can't get it back. And yet you can make adjustments right now. No matter where you are in life, you can make adjustments right now. That internal adjustment that you talked about, right? I don't have any plans of getting to a place in my life where I'm just like, well, I've done enough. You know, I really do want to be productive as long as I can. I want to, I feel like that there are things that I can offer at this season in my life that I couldn't offer when I was 30, because I'm a different person now, right, than I was even then. And there is a skill set and a wisdom that people gain the older that they get, and an ability to know what's important and to know how to prioritize what needs to take place. And I just, you know, I guess I'm just saying all of that to encourage our listeners, no matter where you are. Entrepreneurship is not just for the young, creative visionaries who have all the energy. It's also for those that have learned some life lessons and know how to apply wisdom in some situations, and we can help one another. You know, going back to that sense of community that you talked about and really learning how to step in this thing together. And that's what you see in the book. You see all kinds of personalities, all kinds of businesses, and all various different perspectives on business, you know, but at the same time, it's community operating together so that we might fulfill that idea of being fruitful and multiplying the kingdom of God.
That's good.
So I want to close with this. You know, when we talk about be fruitful and multiply, now I come from pro-life culture, so that meant something very specific in pro-life culture. You know, that was people. Be fruitful and multiply. I can remember families, you know, when I first got saved, I didn't know anything about pro-life ministry, you know, and so I get saved. Within 6 months, I am serving in a national pro-life ministry, and it's just, all of it's just so much bigger than me, but I'm watching these families, and I had friends that had 12 children.
Wow.
Or I would have, you know, a friend that would have 5 children under the ages, under the age of 6, you know, like, be fruitful and multiply. They took that. That was a literal command, you know? And yet I think that that is the case in every aspect of life, that God is looking for that fruitfulness. And people are certainly part of the equation of that. So I know for you and your lovely wife, you guys have one son, Easy, who is just a ball of energy.
He's super active.
He's so much fun to watch. But I also know that you guys have gone through a struggle to for Easy to have a brother or sister. Can you, do you mind sharing a little bit of that? I really want, you know, people that, that are in that place of believing for this to take place in their life, and yet they're not seeing it. Because I know this, that I have gone through seasons of infertility. My husband and I have gone through seasons of infertility. And you hear this idea, be fruitful and multiply, and you're like, well, I want to be.
Yeah.
You know, but it's not coming. And it can be the most grievous experience when that really is your mindset and your heart and mm-hmm. it's just not taking place. Can you just speak into that for just a moment?
Yeah, no, absolutely. To rewind a little bit on that story, you know, Melody, she battled an extreme case of endometriosis that really impacted her her fertility. And so even with Easy, we're so blessed. We do consider him such a miracle. And now at 6 years old and he's playing baseball, I mean, we just enjoy every moment of the gift that he is to us. But we had a difficult time even having him. And it was super discouraging. And there's moments in the physical battle and even in the trying to have a child, you know, where you feel helpless in some ways. And so we went through a holistic journey, you know, for her. And I think it was a combination of really reassessing and implementing some things concerning her health. I mean, we had a surgery that was supposed to take care of it, did not. I mean, it was really a wasted surgery, and we're still paying on that surgery, which is crazy to think.
Wow.
But through the process, we know the Lord did a miracle, and we contended and persisted. And it almost felt like that parable that Jesus talks about with the persistent widow before the judge, and God is so much more loving and his nature is so far better than the judge. But the story goes on. She was so persistent and asked that the judge was like, you know what? She's asking so much. I'm just going to give it to her kind of deal. And we felt that way. And, you know, lo and behold, with the beauty of our community around us that prayed and contended with us, we had our first child and we considered that a miracle. And then, supposedly after that, it was supposed to be easy to have, our next. And then we went through another series of challenges, and we were wondering why, because now it was like, okay, well, we know that we can have a baby. Why is it not taking place now? And we revisited some of those moments of discouragement and helplessness and like, okay, God, like, we're going to do our part and do our best. And, you know, Melody got tested, I got tested, and for all intents and purposes, everything should have been there, been fine to do, but yet for three and a half years, we battled infertility. Within that journey, we did get pregnant and then experienced a miscarriage and had to work through that. And really the way that it hit her and just the emotional, you know, weight that brings and, you know, it impacts our spirits and somewhere there still holding to the promise of be fruitful and multiply. And you said it so well of, we want to, we're trying, and still being persistent and contending that we never gave up. And that's at least the one thing that I would say is even in the midst of trouble and hardship concerning infertility that we battled, that we were persistent, even in the natural. One approach that Melody made, and I don't know how many we've shared with this, but she hired a nutritionist and really helped to reevaluate everything that she put in her body. And over the last couple of years, COVID really assisted, but we really ramped up even in our own lives an exercise regimen just to stay in shape and eat better, you know, drink better, just all of that. And I think the culmination of us just trying to take care of our bodies the way that we knew and take care of our spirits and then contend for the miraculous touch of the Lord, that combination unfolded for us another beautiful testimony that my wife is now in her second trimester and she's pregnant and we're expecting her due date is September 24th. And we are just in awe of God, so thankful that he's been faithful to us to answer the prayer, the promise. It's a combination of prayer, promise, and prophecy that we've contended for and held to, and now we're seeing the fruit of it. And so I would say to anyone, any couple that is in the midst of that infertility battle now, ultimately, you're on God's timetable. And I would just say, do the best that you know to do. Take care of yourselves, your bodies, your emotions, your spirit. And if you can just genuinely say, we're applying ourselves in the best way, and we're just holding to the promise of God, and you know when God speaks to you. you know, when that promise is there, I would just say contend, 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 and you'll find your way. You'll find the breakthrough that God is wanting to bestow and bless. And there was a moment there too, where we're like, God, like, are you withholding from us? Or, you know, are you sure? Like, are we really going to be able to experience the gift like scripture talks about? And yes. The short answer is his promises are yes and amen. And he's faithful to bring it about on his timetable. And then you can rejoice like Hannah, you know, and she was given Samuel, you know, and it's just neat to see how the Lord can work and respond, and being on this end of it after contending for years. It's a wonderful place to be, but you see what God did in the journey, that he doesn't waste a moment, and he uses it for his good and ultimately our good.
Well, everything you just described, you know, was how we began the podcast, that God wants us to be co-creators and co-rulers. And you talked about how, as you were contending for the promise that God had given you, you were working on yourselves, right? You were growing this aspect of stewardship of your own health and your own family, and you were becoming, you know, this co-ruler in a sense. Yeah. And now, you know, again, you've seen this new creation coming forth. So again, that is the kingdom in a nutshell. Mm-hmm. That's what it means. That's who God is. He is a blesser. And he is for us, right? Yes, and not against us.
Amen.
And he wants to just constantly renew the life that he has promised us daily. And he pours himself out. And within who he is life himself. Mm-hmm. And there's no darkness in him. There's no death in him, right? He's just life. It's who he is.
So good.
So, you know, if we can grab hold of that, and take that into everything we do, every aspect of our lives, then we will find that we really are, you know, being fulfilled within ourselves for who that we were even created to be. And we're going to find that productivity flowing out from around us through the Spirit, right? Because we've taken hold of the principles of life. Mm. And although sometimes the ground has to be tilled up. Sometimes the ground of our own hearts gets hardened and it lies dormant, right? And it needs to be tilled up somewhat for that productivity to really come forth. God knows how to do all of that. That's what the parable of the sower is all about. That really, that condition of the soil he's talking about is the condition of our own hearts. So sometimes there's some thorns that need to be, you know, pulled out. Sometimes there's some rocky shallowness that needs to be dealt with. But God knows how to be the master tiller of the soil and get us to a place of just beautiful fruit that can come from our lives. And Michael, you and Melody just exhibit that so well before us as pastors. So thank you for being my guest today. Thank you for this conversation. It really has challenged me in some areas and allowed me, just even as we were talking, to evaluate some different aspects so that I can be as productive as I need to be. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. It's been an honor. Thank you. I've enjoyed it.
Well, thank you for listening today. Season one is almost done. We have two episodes left. Next week, we will be talking to LaWanda Holder, who is an intercessor for businesses. And then the following week, we're going to be talking to Hannah Scholes, and she's going to just talk about my book that I wrote. She has read it. It impacted her. She was part of a team where we contended for life at our own church. And we're going to talk about those things. And I have just, again, so appreciated the people that have been on this podcast. They really are my friends. But I have to tell you, they are just amazing people to do life with. Blessings.
Thank you for listening to Renaissance Voices. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast to hear more from your favorite authors at 8 Hours Publishing. You can also follow us on our social media, linked down in the show notes. Dios los bendiga.